Have you heard Spike's Car Radio? It's comedian, actor, writer Spike Ferriston sitting on the porch in Malibu talking with some cool people about cool cars and life in general.
My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. He was all right. Don't try to hug him.
Chris Hardwick.
I could feel everything on the road. I mean, it was basically like, it was like unprotected sex for driving.
Jeremy Piven.
You know what? I think you and Jerry are spiritually tied to cars, and I respect it and I love it, but I don't quite get it yet, but I want to get it.
Download new episodes of Spike's Car Radio every Wednesday on the Podcast One app, or save time and subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or at PodcastOne.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The church is going to mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Drew?
We do indeed. And we got a couple things to talk about today, right?
Yeah, the first thing I said is I was going to break down the old school definition for... And then you got to look, Gary, into the transgender ban or whatever the military one was.
The recent ban?
No, the one from the late 70s. Or late 70s.
I mean, what is the ban presently? Is that the
question? Well, I think what I'm assuming what happens. I'm just assuming. Because everything just gets shoved through the, oh, my God, pearl-clutching media. And then there's a few things. I don't follow things that closely that don't really affect anybody.
Yeah.
Because I'm not one of these guys where it's like, if just one child is left behind, then it's not worth. It's like, oh, no, I'm fine. If we could just leave a baker's dozen of kids behind, I'd have no problem. And by the way, you guys would be completely useless in military or science or anything where they needed any kind of results. You know what I mean? It's like you're going to open a Keebler factory and go, if one cracker's broken, that's too many. It's like, no, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I'm wired.
Right.
I'm wired that way.
Yeah.
And
it appears that it was in the 70s. I'm looking for more.
No, I'm looking for the Trump one. Sorry, I was being sarcastic.
But let me tell you something about this that I learned. Because I don't have a horse in the race. At first, I was like, oh, that sounds. I'm sorry they're doing that. But then,
well, I don't know. But see, I'm not sure what they're doing yet. If you have become a man or become a woman, I would like you to be able to do anything a man or a woman does.
Sure.
Well, with the exception of a man became a woman, went into the octagon and beat the shit out of another woman. And that woman said, I've never been hit that hard before, and I've never felt that kind of grip on another woman. And I do have feelings about that.
Right.
Because that is you taking possibly some of your man strength and inflicting harm on a woman after you've crossed over. And I do have thoughts about that.
Right.
Other than that, you want to go in the army or you want to be a surgeon or you want to be an accountant, I don't care.
I often find sometimes it's easier to understand things or, you know, sidestep all the political stuff just by looking at what's health and not healthy, that kind of thing. And I started looking at the military exclusions, what the military excludes for, you know, what for being in the military.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be shocked. The list is a mile long. If you take a thyroid medication, out. Blood pressure medicine, out. If you see the therapist more than 6 months, out.
If you have asthma.
So I thought, oh my God, they can't let these people in. They're on medication. They have all kinds of therapeutic stuff they had to go through. That they don't meet the medical criteria, just period. Now, you could identify as transgender, then they should let them in.
Well, but anyways, no, you can't. Hold on a second.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I do know what you're saying, but you identifying as a woman or a man and then wanting to go into that regiment while still being a man or being a woman, I don't think is going to be good for the military, and which is all I care about. I'm not really interested in what's good for
the
individual.
But to exclude them based on transgender feelings.
Well, first off, who are we even talking about? 10% of the country? Maybe less? Maybe 13%. Like, the first thing I do is go, how many people are we really dealing? So here's what we're dealing with. I'm assuming if you transgender. Okay, so here's how it used to break down. Transgender broke down, which is if you're a cross dresser. I'm giving this to Nick. A cross dresser would be me going home, dressing up in Lynette's apparel You know, posing in front of the mirror, and then the following day putting on a suit and going back to work the next day.
We're beginning to see that a lot of those people may have been.
That was then.
Okay.
Then that's what we'd call like a cross dresser. Maybe I might sneak out of the house and go to Starbucks
or something. In Everything You Want About Sex or Afraid to Ask, there's a whole vignette about that.
I don't know if you're
from the 70s.
Yeah, so Woody Allen thing. Yeah. So now that's kind of what a cross dresser would just dress in woman's clothing. And it was sort of implied that they had a secret life.
It was considered a fetish.
Yeah, it was a fetish. But it didn't seem to be like bachelor cross-dressers. It was the guy who was married with the three kids and the suburbia, and he dressed, he put the pearls on and go out at night and then come back again. Then there was transvestite. Transvestite was, I dress as a woman and I go out as a woman, although I have male parts, and go down and hang out by the Shakey's over there on Santa Monica Boulevard. And then there was transsexual. Transsexual meant, and we should look at what vestite means.
I don't know, yeah. Transsexual meant you went to Brazil and had a surgery.
Transsexual meant, you crossed over sexually. Transsexual, you've crossed over. Now, so if you say, hey, no transsexuals in the army.
The actual definition that came up when I typed it in seems more like an identification to me. A person who
that's the one that we came up with. Last week. It's not the one that everyone used 20 years ago.
You're talking about the old way of looking at it. Yes, yes.
The old way was you had become another sex.
You're describing what people understood by those words 20 years ago.
Right.
You're describing.
Well, it's sort of this whole thing of like corrupting all language, which is, you know, are you blind? I'm seeing impaired. You're impaired? I'm blind. Are you blind? I'm not blind. I'm impaired. Well, impaired just could mean you can't operate a motor vehicle or you can't read, but you could get around with it. It's confusing. Mm-hmm. By the way, I remember talking to a blind guy on Loveline once. He kept insisting he was seeing impaired, but impaired doesn't mean no vision. Mm-hmm. I'd like the definition of impaired too, because impaired means a lesser state.
I'm having eye surgery. I'm going to talk about that.
Right, yeah. But
weakened
or
damaged.
Yeah, weakened or damaged, but it doesn't mean It's like a car that had an accident but can still drive versus one that can't move. Mm-hmm. And I don't – but blind means blind. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean, I can see some lights and I can read big print. Blind meant blind. Mm-hmm. So, but we took it, we screwed it, and now we confused
it. We would say legally blind if somebody could still kind of see. We would say that back in the day.
Right. So transgendered meant somebody who crossed over. Mm-hmm. So my feeling is – once you cross over, then you are
that, okay.
And you can go use the bathroom or go use the military. Stay out of the octagon. But other than that, I don't care.
By standard, their medical standards, you couldn't do it. You'd have to obviate all their medical standards.
Well, emotionally, I'm saying if you have gone under the knife, you have become another gender, and you would like to go join up with that group.
Yeah.
Then go join up with that group.
What about a female to male who only takes testosterone? That's the only thing they're doing.
Well, whatever.
There's no knife involved, is my point.
However your parts have been altered by the hormones or by the knife, I'm fine with that. If you say, if my daughter joins the wax, they still have the wax? My daughter joins the wax, and some fella down the street says, I haven't done anything, but I definitely think of myself as a gal. I'm going to go sleep in the barracks and take showers with them. Then I realize that that's probably a problem. Hmm. So I understand that part. So I'd like to meet in the middle. Now, I don't know what the new story is, but I'm guessing.
Regarding Trump's ban?
Yes. It's
obviously still theoretical because it's only occurred on Twitter and hasn't been formed into law yet. But you were asking about the numbers. The high-end group says that it is at or above 15,000, and the low-end estimate is closer to 6,000. I can get you numbers on active...
In the military.
Yes.
But these are...
But Trump's ban basically said that it will bar transgender people from serving in any capacity in the U.S. Armed Forces.
But is it transgendered... And again, because we've decided to corrupt all language and turn everything into everything, we don't know anymore. But if you have successfully went from Major Winchester to Nurse Houlihan. Yeah. Deep cut.
Look up your MASH.
Are you still banned? Because he's saying banned transgender. And to me, I'm thinking, is that people that have crossed or people that think that?
Right. Well, that was my point. Thinking it is like, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. You don't have to give me any numbers.
But how can you allow somebody who's taking testosterone, say, and not allow somebody who's taking a blood pressure medicine?
I don't know.
I don't understand how they could do that just medically.
I don't know. I don't know how bad. The idea of not being able to get in the military sounds like a blessing to me. I think my dad had club feet. Couldn't get in the military. Best thing that ever happened to him. Not great for the family, but good for him. All right. I'm going to talk to Randy.
Yeah.
25 Dallas. Oh, this other guy's been on hold long. Hey, Nancy, 58, Temecula.
Hi. Hey. Thrilled to speak with you guys.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you. Getting ready to move after 25 years in the house where we raised our family. And mm-hmm. never dawned on me that my husband was slowly filling up all those extra bedrooms with papers and books and old Christmas cards. And he realizes it's a problem, but he doesn't want to get rid of them. And he's just packing them up and not throwing them away.
Mm-hmm.
Any suggestions on how we can not just...
Where are you guys moving to?
Have a garage full. Just to a brand-new one-story smaller house. Same area.
Mm. Okay. We're living in a weird time because there is... your husband is your age?
Yes.
Okay,
Can I make a suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's obsessive compulsive disorder. It's hoarding or something up with him psychiatrically that's making him hoard. And you know the guy that does hoarders, Max Paxton?
Mm-hmm. Max Packrat.
Matt Paxton. He has a you can reach him, matt@cluttercleaner.com. And he has a whole team that will go in and just take care of things and counsel your husband and deal with it. And I mean, this is what they do. They go around the country and they actually give you a grade of how much of a hoarder are you. And he sounds like he's I think their scale is like on a scale of 5. And he's like on 3.5, 4 here going on. So it's matt@cluttercleaner.com. Call him and they'll come and take care of this for you. He needs help. He really does.
So he needs help, but... Okay, so it's just a matter of him being willing to step up and say, okay, I want to deal with this. And
No, he will not deal with it. No. That's the point. You have to intervene.
Right, right.
You have to intervene.
But he's going to have to agree to accept the help.
Well, hold on a second.
No. Interventions are designed to get them to the point where they're willing to accept the help.
But now, hold the phone here a second, Nancy. You say, like, old Christmas cards or greeting cards.
Bedrooms filled with them.
Quiet.
Yeah.
Nancy?
Boxes of cards that he purchased that he never mailed out, and next year he'll buy another box and another box, and models that he's never built. And
I get it. That's that. Now, the thing that's weird about, I guess, I don't know much about hoarding, and I have the...
opposite.
Well...
You have expulsing.
I have the, like, what the hell is this box doing in the front here, sweetie? It's been there. Oh, wait, it's Natalia's. Her ice skates came in that box. Good. Can we get rid of it? No, I don't want to. Just take it to the warehouse. But what if she needs the ice skates? Then you go to the warehouse and get the ice skates. But you know where it is.
Right.
Yeah, but what if she needs them, like, now? It's like, she hasn't used them in 4 years. Like, yeah, I'm move it out. Get it out. Get it out of here. Be realistic about what you use and what you do. But here's the thing. If I had a bunch of cards that friends and loved ones filled out and sent to me, I'd want to keep them somewhere in an orderly way, but I wouldn't go out and buy new boxes of cards. Now, I thought the hoarders, I didn't know the hoarders went out and got bunches of things and brought it back. I thought it was more they just kept everything that came in.
It was both, but the classic thing now is the home shopping. They just bring stuff in, never even open it. They just stuff just ships in from the sitting at TV watching it, and they just pile it up.
Mm-hmm. Is what business is your husband in?
So he's a teacher, and then he also has a corporate job. So hardworking, but loves to go to the bookstore, whether it's a college bookstore or just picking up a magazine, and never realize that we have 25 years worth of every issue of you name it what he bought.
But he will cop to it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good, and I agree with Drew's advice then, and I think that's it's a sensible guy. Like, I feel like there's so many people that are like, sweetie, you're a hoarder. You're a hoarder, or just a horror. But I'm laughing because, you know, I told you my mom, everyone in my family, everyone's a loser, and everyone they know is a loser, and we have these crazy, like, loser conversations, like, how's Eddie's twins doing? One's in jail in Florida, and the other one's not doing well. They're insane conversations. I mean, the one who's not, the 22-year-old chick who's not in jail is doing worse. And then I'm like, how's Merlene? Oh, like, family friend. Yeah. How's Merlene? Oh, this is verbatim. I gotta get a steno pad, so I can't write fast. Huh. How's Merlene? Oh, she's doing great. She was recently featured in an episode of Hoarders. But this is not, you're not good. These are the people you know.
These are the ones you're proud of.
These are the ones you brag about. The ones in jail are the ones that are going to jail, and the ones are in Hoarder.
Doing worse.
Featured. By the way, featured. It's like saying featured in a snuff film. Like, featured. You know, featured in Hoarders. Oh, you're the God. Example of a person featured in Hoarders. My mother said that with a fair bit of pride.
Did she understand what she was saying, maybe? Is it possible she thought it was some...
No, she knows what it is.
She knows what it is. Okay.
Yeah. Now it's a hometown girl.
A game show or something.
No, she knows what it is. Like, it was just the standard, like the limbo stick is duct taped to the ceiling.
What's interesting, though,
like, everyone just walks under and doesn't even know they're at a limbo bar. But that's
what's interesting is that you, because the limbo bar is up at the ceiling, you don't get any special acknowledgement for going under the limbo bar yourself.
Jimmy being on the Emmys
is the same as being featured on Hair Orders.
There's a compensatory thing. Yeah. Like, I mean, I was really, it's something that I've really been thinking about, but when I had a real moment of, is anybody in this group cured at all from any of this stuff? Like, are they going to the grave with this stuff?
Of course.
Yes, I know. But no, you say of course, but people have made overtures. People have said, look, I know I wasn't good back then. I've gotten a lot of therapy. I'd like to do better now. I hope that we can, you know, there's been some repentance, some movement, some stuff. So well, go ahead and tell us about Smart Mouth, and then I'll tell you.
All right. It's a dual solution oral rinse. It's the only activated mouthwash clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent it from coming back for 12 hours. Got somebody to tell me this actor was using hydrogen peroxide. I said, no, use the zinc ion technology. That is the way to do it. Zinc ion technology binds to bacteria, forcing it to stop producing the gases that cause bad breath. And, of course, this guy – actually, it's a friend of the guy that plays the dad in This Is Life. And I was like, tell him to take zinc ion. Smart Mouth is dual rinse. You can get it at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS. Visit smartmouth.com. Well, I don't know the guy, but I know his friend who works over at KBC. And I thought,
never stop bragging about your highfalutin star.
And, of course, if you're trying to have a romantic scene and you have bad breath, or you can't even – you're thinking about your breath even, zinc ion technology binds to the bacteria, forcing it to stop producing the gases. And you don't even have to think about your breath. You can be confident there will not be bad breath. Again, smartmouth.com, Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, wherever you shop.
Yeah, so for me, that's a sort of, well, everyone's getting to the end of the road here in terms of their life. And the whole Jimmy hosting the Oscars thing was really like, let's see if we've had any movement at all. Like, there's been some therapy, there's been some talk, there's been some overtures, but let's just see. Here's a real sort of brass tacks, good solid example of you couldn't be anything more than enthusiastic and encouraging or complimentary or what have you after Jimmy hit that home run over at the Oscars, and also just the fact that the guy's hosting the Oscars and you're writing for it and they're aware of all that information. And my mom just sort of very flippantly just went, you know, first off, they had to bring it up. Like, I said, did you see the Oscars? She's like, yeah. What'd you think? it's okay. And then followed up with, we were in and out. We didn't really watch it. I just thought, well, I think we're taking this one to the grave, right? There's your chance.
Yeah.
You got the Oscars. You watch the Oscars. Yeah. You talk about the Oscars. The guy hosts the Oscars. You gave it 3.5 syllables with a quick look up and a what? And it's like somebody asking you about a pastry you had a week ago at a wedding. And you went, Ladyfingers, how were they? They're okay. And then you want to talk about something else. That's what it was. And then we moved on. Yeah. And that was that. And I thought, well, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
I guess.
Go to the grave.
It's going to the grave. Fire up the hearse. Going to the grave. All right. Let's talk to Randy.
Yep.
Randy, 25, Dallas.
Yes, sir. How are you guys doing today?
Good, man. What's going on?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My girlfriend and I have been dating for a couple years and are both at the same medical school. And she has told me that she loves me and she's expecting me at this point to say I love her back, but I don't. Now the problem is we're starting to study for USMLE Step 1, which, as Drew knows, this test basically determines what kind of doctor we can be later on. It's like SAT on steroids.
Yeah, I mean, sort of. Yeah, I mean, it matters, but it matters. Yes,
what's her nationality?
Yeah. She's white.
What? All right. She's going to be a veterinarian.
She's in medical school already.
She's not going to make it.
And so I'm worried that if I break up with her now, it's going to affect her schoolwork and her success. I'm studying for that test. And so I don't really know what to do.
I have a couple of...
You remember that test, Drew?
Oh, yeah. I actually met Susan the first time running out because I was going to stab my friend that I was studying with. It was like paper chase. We locked ourselves in a room for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we really started fighting, this guy and I. And we got to go out and go to a bar. And we went to a bar, and there was a fashion show, and Susan was at the mic announcing this fashion show.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, and I said, I got to talk to this woman. She blew me off horribly.
Mm-hmm.
2 years later, met her again, didn't realize it was the same person, had the same kind of an experience, which I never really had before. Dating her a year, saw a picture of that night, and went, oh, my God, you were there? Oh, crap, that was you. I had no idea.
Did she have that idea?
She kind of remembered me being there. No such reaction on her side, trust me. But so anyway, here's my thoughts. Let her get through the national board, right? Let's get through that.
Yeah.
Let her get through that, number one. Number two, you're going to immediately start your rotations. Do separate rotations immediately. Do rotations, maybe even different hospitals. And then you'll have plenty of opportunity to do your thing. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah, I do.
And maybe make sure she takes – dermatology, first rotation or so, or something is not general surgery.
What do you
something easier.
What are you thinking about taking, Randy?
So I'm kind of between emergency medicine or some type of surgery.
Yeah. So you go off and do surgery. She won't see you for 6 weeks. And that'll be that.
So the current problem is that our anniversary is starting to come up pretty soon.
That's all right. Whatever. I mean, look, you do like this girl. You don't want to hurt her. Do what's good for her. And listen, every single relationship, I mean everyone in every marriage that started medical school broke up by residency. Every single one in my medical school class.
Yeah.
So that's pretty standard fare. You change a lot during training, and you'll change again a lot during residency. So she'll be all right. She will be. She'll be fine.
Okay. I don't feel comfortable telling her that I love her, and that's the problem.
You don't love her, and you want to break up, and you're entitled to that. That's okay. You don't want to stay with somebody out of pity, but you also don't want to be cruel, and you don't want to disrupt her. The course of her trajectories right now. I mean, just be kind at least, and it's that's all going to be behind you soon.
Yeah.
What should I do in that situation when she expects me to tell her that I love her? That's my whole thing.
Well, the question is it's going to be hard to recover from that or to move on or to not have that be a sort of a marker in the relationship.
But it's okay to like, I don't know what I want these days. Get very confused. I'm in medical. I don't know. And then go, let's have this conversation after the national boards.
Okay.
Right? Well, it's always – I'm with Drew. I mean, I have two separate thoughts on this, but I do think it's nice to you break up with people like airlines when they're running late. And the way they do it, I always say this, but it's always true. If it's a 2-hour delay, it always starts with a 20-minute delay.
Yeah, it's a creeping.
It's a creeping. It's a 20-minute delay, and you think to yourself, I'm not happy about this. It's 20 minutes. I'll make it. And then they kind of come to you later on, and they go, nah, it doesn't look like we're, not going to get to the town, not to the top of the hour. You know, like, it's going to be about another 40 minutes after this, whatever. And by then, you've sort of made your peace with being late. Like, you kind of get it. Like, okay, we're going to be late.
Yeah.
Now, you're still a party that's kind of hanging on. Like, okay, but maybe it's just an hour late. I hope it's just an hour late, but now I know we're going to be late. And it starts creeping in and kind of building in, and by the time they tell you, like, the flight is canceled or whatever it is, it's not nearly the free fall that it was.
Except just like a relationship when she'll go, well, why did you just string me along for the last 2 weeks? You're always going, why did you tell me the flight was going to be canceled an hour ago? But you knew it. You weren't going to change the planes.
Yes.
Why did you tell me an hour ago?
Yes, yes, and more yes. God, one of the many things I do not miss about being young is that whole makeup breakup, the whole breakup, either side of it. I wasn't good at either side of it. It's just an interesting wiring.
People that are good at that?
No, not good at it, but as miserable as I was when I got dumped, I was more miserable dumping somebody else. Mm. I think. And
it's just different miserable.
It's different, but I mean, I'm trying to think because there's a lot of guys that sort of looked at it as, I looked at it as sort of a car accident, and one person got T-boned and the other person, you know, like the person got T-boned got it worse, but you both got into a car accident.
Yeah.
But I think there's some people that treat it more like one person got in a car accident, the other person is motoring down the highway.
Yeah.
If you're on the happy end, like if you're the person dumping the other person.
Yeah.
Be an interesting way to sort of measure somebody's psyche.
Yeah.
Like I can tell you Sonny's wiring, Sonny's going to feel horrible dumping somebody.
Sure.
It's horrible. Natalia probably doesn't have that wiring. She may enjoy it.
Oh, jeez.
She may grow to enjoy it and even find pleasure in it.
Oh, my goodness.
No, what I'm saying is I can see Sonny's wiring already. If somebody was in love with him and he had to tell him, I'm not in love with you, it would ruin him. And then we know people that don't seem to be wired that way.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Dr. Marcel, folks of that nature. What I'm saying is, like, I know guys, I don't even mean they're bad guys. Maybe they're healthier than we are. But it's like, I went out, I'm done, I'm moving on. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not thinking about this. I'm not wringing my hands. Like,
well, it's kind of an adult way of doing it, right? I mean, adults are better at that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But kids, like, ugh, be painful. So I'm having this PRK thing, this eye procedure.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you after stamps.
Okay. I'll tell you about a procedure called stamps.com, man. We use it here for all our shipping. Why wouldn't you use it there? Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail, use your computer and your printer. They'll even send you a digital scale to automatically calculate the exact postage. And right now, oh, we got a deal for you. You can enjoy stamps.com with a special 4-week trial plus postage and the digital scale without long-term commitments. Why would you go anywhere else? And I don't know. I was going to say, like, I don't know what else there is other than stamps. There's stamps.com where you go to the post office and wait in line. And you wouldn't do that.
Why would you do that? You could do anything and more with stamps.com.
Stamps.com, you click on the microphone at the top of the homepage. You type in ADS, that's stamps.com. Enter ADS. Get all the benefits of being associated with the winners over here. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. So, Drew, you're getting the surgery.
So I'm having this PRK. It's, you know, I was going to get LASIK, and it was going to be a radio promotion. And then all of a sudden, they go, "Oh, sorry, your cornea is too thin."
Mm-hmm.
So we have to go back to this older procedure called PRK. Look up what PRK stands for,
mm-hmm.
And it's essentially taking the cornea off and shaping it. Mm-hmm. And, I know. And then it's like sewing.
Photorefractive keratotomy.
Keratectomy. And they sew on another lens for a while. And it's like, ugh. But I'm going to get that done. I'm excited about it.
How long?
Oh, God, I'm looking at pictures I did not want to see. Thank you.
How long will you be down for?
I'm going to work the next day. They say I can drive the next day.
And not you. Regular dudes. Nick could drive. Not you.
I might scrape the car, but...
You could drive one of those horses you feed the nickels into out front of the Five and Dime. That might be safe.
The spaceship.
Yeah, the spaceship with the steering wheels not hooked up to anything. Just on a carriage bolt and just keeps turning.
Yellow spaceship.
Yeah.
It's a good question that Nick just asked. Will you still have to wear glasses?
Yeah, I will. I'm not getting fully corrected, so I can still read and stuff with wearing glasses. But I'll be not as blind, not nearly as blind. And it's driving me crazy right now. Because the lenses are larger now, I have to take my glasses off to read. And it's just a pain in the ass. So I'm really excited. Really ready for this.
You have to take your glasses off to read.
When you're refracted... Your near vision is tough. Like, I have good near vision without my glasses on, but when it's refracted, I can't see a damn thing.
Mm.
And so I have to look. And when the lenses were narrower, which they were for years, I just looked under the glasses. It was no big deal.
Uh-huh.
Now I'd have to get bifocals and just get the PRK.
All right. Well, we'll be praying for you. Not Taco Bell material, the one-man show coming to Chicago, Minneapolis, Nashville. So check that out. Go to amcroll.com for all the stuff. Go to Chassis. Chassy. Get the merch, get the hats, get the mugs. Buck slips coming soon. Check that out. And Drew, what do you got?
Listen to the Dr. Drew podcast. I'm bringing in a lot of my favorite podcasters. Thank you all for joining us.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Eastman Guitars presents the Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour, August 22nd in Santa Barbara, California, with Loxy. Baby, let's roll. Kills. Just another Southern California. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com. And all the pretty girls start to look the same. And comedy with your host, Matt Edgar.
Hi, you working high? A shove on?
Still.
Good to know, dude. Now I know where to get my weed and gas.
I'll put 20 on 10 and 20 on a 10.
And special guest, Taylor Morgan.
And I remember when I got my first check for acting, the check said right on it, actor's fee. And I showed a friend of mine who was like, you know, I really want to frame it because it's the first one, but I sort of need the $50. And he said, no way, you frame it. I will give you the $50. Which I thought was so nice. So I showed another friend that was like, you know, really, frame it.
The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour at Soho Restaurant and Music Club. Follow on Twitter at SohoSB. Sponsored by Eastman Guitars. Visit EastmanGuitars.com. Loxy and the Smokin' Kills. Plus Matt Edgar and Taylor Morgan. Tuesday, August 22nd. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.